It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to today's Outdoor Show. We have Mr. Larry Wysoon coming up here in just a minute or two. We're going to talk some deer hunting, but if it's okay with y'all, I want to brag a little bit. I took my first Texas or whitetail deer anywhere with a big bore air gun just 2 days ago up on the Dale River Ranch. It's one of the most exciting hunts I've did. I really killed a nice buck out there. We'll post a picture of the buck with this show here on KETR where you can go and take a look. But it was about a 60-yard shot, and I was shooting a big 240-grain bullet by Nielsen Specialty Ammo. You'd be surprised the power that these air guns develop. But I've killed a lot of hogs and several exotics, but that was the first whitetail that I've ever taken. So let's get Mr. Wysoon on with us. I think he's standing by and talk some more deer hunting. What do you say? Well, folks, welcome to our campfire. Mr. Wysoon is right across the campfire from us. Larry, good morning to you, buddy.
Ooh, good morning. I'm full of turkey. I don't know about you.
Yes. You remember we were talking about that wild turkey that I shot up there at the Dale River
Absolutely
Ranch.
Absolutely, I do.
Well, I did load that rascal up with, you was telling me about using a big syringe and putting butter in them years ago, loading them up. Well, I got some of that Creole butter, and I used my big syringe. Those little kits come with a small syringe, but I used my big metal syringe, and I loaded that thing up with that Cajun butter, the breast and the thighs and the legs. That, I tell you what, I put a little moisture in the roasting pan just to, give it a little added moisture. But that was, I tell you what, that was some of the best turkey that I've ever.
I love it.
And I had a domestic, we had such a big crew, had a big domestic turkey too. And boy, you take some of that dressing and then put that wild turkey meat on there. So good. So tasty. Oh, me. Yeah, Thanksgiving is done. There's all of us that love to hunt and fish, there's just so much coming up, Larry. I know,
you're right.
Well, let's see, December the 14th in Greenville at the CarQuest, actually on 4 wooded acres next door to the CarQuest. My buddy Randy Kuhn owns the Henley Auto Supply, which is there. That is the CarQuest. We have the winter rendezvous coming up. That's going to be from 10 to 4.
That's the Luke Clayton winter rendezvous.
I asked him about that, and I have a little bit of a little problem with that. I just wanted it to be a winter rendezvous. But, yeah, I will be there, and I'll tell you what, I've got a world of friends and associates and outdoor people that's going to be there, and it's for all of us, they called it that, the Luke Clayton. I'll go ahead and say it.
You ought to. I tell you what, I'm proud of it for you, back.
Oh, it'll be fun. And if you're in,
very appropriate.
Who knows? There's a remote possibility, Larry, that you're going to, if it's any way possible, you would cruise up there and be there with us.
If there is any worldly way, I am going to be there. We've got some TV show stuff scheduled kind of along that time frame, and I'm hoping that I can fill a tag early, and if I do, or even if it looks like I'm not going to be able to, then I'm going to do my best to be there. And right that time is, too, in South Texas, is really starting about the first week of December. Horn rattling is out of this world good.
Yep.
Of course, in the past, up there out west of Dallas and Fort Worth, up there in the Albany, all that area up into there, I've spent a lot of time in years past rattling up bucks, and usually that first week of December there, and then as you get a little bit farther south, it kind of lasts a little bit longer. But for those people who have not yet tried it, I'd highly recommend it. We've got lots of young deer, and talking about 2-year-old, 3-year-old deer on a lot of the country that people are getting to hunt. And those bucks in particular have a tendency to respond to rattling horns. And if you never rattle one up, you know, get down on the ground and hit the horse, get a look kind of halfway downwind, because they are going to try to circle you regardless. And that's reading I've gotten where I swear by Texas raised hunting products. I mean, when I rattle, I'm sprayed down, because that way they can't smell me. But normally they will come, almost always they'll come around downwind to try to wind you in. And so you kind of want to watch that way. And have an old buck come in, and he comes in, his hair is standing on end, his ears are kind of hanging down to the side like he's wanting to fight. His eyes are bugged. He's drooling to where it looks like silver, you know, drooling out of his mouth. There is, that is as fine as whitetail deer hunting can get, as far as I'm concerned.
Larry, if a person has a drop of adrenaline in their body, it'll bring it out, won't it? You know?
Yeah. He ain't a kidding. I mean, it may bring him on a little bit buck fever, because it still does it to me.
Oh, yeah. I think it always will. Yeah, rattling is so much fun. And you know, of course, folks have watched you on TVs, on videos for years. You know, a lot of times that old buck will come right in there. But, you know, a lot of times he don't charge right in. It doesn't.
You
remember the one? I tell you, folks, I got a quick story about Larry, but Larry and I was hunting with Stephen Ray that makes the rattling forks. Now, these are awesome tools for rattling.
Yes, they are.
They push the sound way out. Well, Stephen and Larry and I were together on a ranch out in West Texas, out west of San Angelo three or four years ago. And we spotted a buck. I never will forget. There's things that stick out that you don't forget. This is one of them.
You're right.
We were up on a hill, and we spotted a buck down a fence line. The ranch was on both sides of this fence. It was a cross fence. Well, this buck, Stephen was rattling, and Larry was doing the shooting, and I was there. I was taking pictures and whatnot. But Larry said, I'm going to bring this buck right on. It was a younger buck. It wasn't a shooter.
Yes,
you remember it, don't you?
I remember the deer very – I can see it as we're talking.
Yes. So Larry says Stephen had rattled, and the buck disappeared out of this – it was a right-of-way down the fence line. The deer was about 200 yards, maybe a little farther. So I thought, well, this is the last we're going to see of this deer, to myself. Well, Larry starts talking deer, grunting, snort, wheezing, et cetera. And no kidding, that buck, you remember, Larry, popped up probably 30 or 40 yards in a little opening just across that fence from us.
He did. He read my script that I'd written for him.
I don't know what you said to him, but it rang the bell. That deer ran. He come at least 200, maybe 300 yards. I don't remember exactly how far, but at least 200 in through the brush. And the horns got his attention at first, and then that vocalizing that you were doing. You said the curiosity's going to get the best of him.
And you know, you're right. Sometimes I get asked all the time why bucks respond, and I think one of the big deals is their testosterone level is so high, and so when they hear a fight, they're anxious to come see what it is. But thankfully, deer are curious as well, too, and if you can do some just simple grunts and even some weird stuff sometimes, they'll come in. When my daughters were small, Eli Haydell had just come out with a grunt call, and I'd take my daughters hunting with me, and I'd let them blow the grunt call and show them how to do it. Well, you know how things go. They'd get bored after a little while. Next thing you know, they're playing songs on that grunt tube. And lo and behold, almost every time they did, a buck would come walking in, and you could see him. You could see the curiosity in his eyes and his ears, because when he walk in, he kind of crane his neck a little bit, and his ears would go forward, and he'd like, what in the world is going on, kind of thing. So don't be afraid when you're rattling to try things a little differently. I mean, if they come to horns when you rattle just a little bit and wait between times, keep doing it. If that doesn't work, you know, get more aggressive. Keep rattling. Make more noise. And throw a few grunts in there, because a lot of times when the bucks are really fighting, they're kind of like weightlifters you used to see on TV, where they go, as they're trying to push that bar up. And the same thing will happen with deer. So deer, try it. I mean, sometimes it works absolutely fantastic. Sometimes they won't even pay attention to you. Sometimes within the day, there'll be an hour's time when they respond like crazy, and the rest of the time they don't. There's no rhyme or reason why it happens that way. It just does. So you know, if you're rattling, it doesn't rattle, don't rattle up anything, you know, wait a little while, try it again.
Exactly. I've had a lot of deer when I was rattling, Larry, a bunch of them. Deer just have a way of almost like magically appearing and then disappearing, you know. But, I mean, I remember not far from my house 2 or 3 years ago, I was rattling, and I didn't have any inkling there was a buck anywhere. Well, I knew I was in good country, but I didn't,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Didn't see any deer, nothing like that. I'll swear where that buck came from, I was in a tree stand, so he had to sneak in behind me probably. But I looked down, I mean, 20 yards. I was hunting with a rifle. I mean, it wasn't a shoot, but two and a half year old buck. He was standing right there, just like a statue, you know. And I thought, how did he sneak in and me not even hear anything, you know? But they can do it, can't they? You know.
Yes, they can, and they do. I'm anxious to get. I've got a little bit of time I'm gonna spend down on the edge of South Texas, and I've got a couple of Rugers. One is a revolver, 44 mag, and the other one's one of my Ruger number ones. Air top with Triticon sights, and of course, shooting Hornady ammo. So I'm going to be trying to put some venison in the freezer here real quick here in the next few days.
You know, Larry, I'll say something about the Hornady ammo. A lot of my buddies give me a tough time on this, but I've got a little 223, you know, 5.56.
Yes.
And a little bolt action. And I got it topped with a digital. Actually a sight mark, a Photon XT, a digital scope, not thermal, digital, cost about $500 instead of 4,000, you know. Anyway, I've got that on there, and I've killed a ton of hogs, and I know where to hit them, where they're not going to run too far, and I wait for slam dunk shots usually, a lot of them at night with that Photon or XT. Well, I use the Hornady full bore, and 5.56, folks, is... Most everybody knows that's not a big round. It's not. But that thing, that Hornady full bore, smacks those hogs. I think, honestly, I don't know. I probably killed 25 with that round. Lost one that I remember, and that was just, it just happens. But anyway, that is an awesome round. Now, do I recommend people say, what's the best hog gun? You know, well... No, a 270 or 308 or 30-06, or, you know, is a better hog gun. But the way I do it up within 60, 70 yards, that thing does – I'm bragging on the ammo is what I'm doing. It works.
It is. You're right. That is a great, great round. But you're right, too, in that you select your shots. You know, you're waiting for that right opportunity, and, you know, hog anatomy extremely well. So, I mean, even those smaller calibers like that are absolutely fantastic hog rounds on even big hogs. But, you know, if you're going to go out there and try to shoot them through the shield on these big boars or something like that, then certainly I'd use
bigger
a larger,
the better, right?
I'd use a large caliber, largest one you can hold and shoot accurately.
You betcha. Larry, we're about out of time. The Dallas Safari Club convention coming up. We want to remind everybody about that. And, folks, you can go to biggame.org and get all the details on that. And you can go there and find time to visit with Larry. He's going to be there like he always is. And I know you can track him down if you come out there. And I'll be out there probably the Saturday of it doing a little outdoor cooking seminar there. So it's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it, Larry?
It is. Just want to make sure everybody comes out and plan on spending a couple of days. Look forward to seeing everybody there, and wish everybody, we're in the hunting season pretty strong, wish everybody successful and a safe hunting season. And, you know, if you got a little time, don't forget to start shopping for Christmas, because it's just right around the corner now.
It is, Larry. Well, we'll see you right here at the campfire next week, buddy.
Already looking forward to it.
Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Sightmark, Texas Raised Hunting Products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, The Best of Texas Barbecue Sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.